How is it going, everyone? It is once again me, Chuy, and I am one of the hosts of this horror podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And what we do in this podcast is we take something from the horror genre, obviously. It can be either a movie, a TV show, a story, etc. And we give our analysis, our critique, our opinions, etc. Before we start with the episode, though, I want to ask you guys to please go ahead and check out our Linktree page, which is linktree.com/mythsbehindlgds, in which you can find all of our links to our social media accounts, like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. Without anything further ado, here is our episode on The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Stick around. Okay, Mariah, so we are now at the discussion segment for this film, and if you don't mind, would you please remind the audience what that film is?
It is called The Autopsy of Jane Doe. I can never say the word. Is it autopsy or Adam?
Most people that I've heard say it autopsy.
Autopsy. But how do you say it in another way? Is there another?
I say it like that. I mean, I've heard people say it like you, but I don't know if that's correct or not, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm like, it's the autopsy.
So The Autopsy of Jane Doe, and this might have been my suggestion again, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so before we start on the movie, though, or actually, I can ask you, for your first impressions, a couple of sentences for the audience. What did you think about this film?
I have a dollhouse in a, like, morgue dollhouse right now that I'm working on, and this movie just brought me back to life for my inspiration for this miniature house that I'm working on. And it's so good. The gore, amazing. It's not extreme like how I usually love my movies, but it's okay. This was enough gore for me for the outline of the whole morgue type thing. It was so good. I loved it.
Oh, I'm really happy to hear that. I thought you would appreciate this film, so I'm happy to find out that you did. I saw this film, I want to say about 4 or 5 years ago maybe, on Netflix of all things. And it stuck with me because it's a really, some people might call this a slow burn because not a lot happens up until maybe like the middle of the film. And it's a short film, right? It's maybe like an hour and a half, maybe not even an hour and a half. It's a really short film, which is nice because a lot of times people will make movies super long and pretentious like Midsommar. Sorry. sorry about that. I mean, I just, if you've been following this podcast, you know that I'm not a fan of those films, but to each their own. But anyways, this one I like because, I mean, I don't like it just because it's short, mind you. I like it because it's a really very well-paced film, in spite of the fact that it's short. I feel like the pacing is perfect for the length that it is. The idea, the concept of what happens in the movie, it could have gone a lot of different ways. The first time that I saw it, I had no idea what it was about. And I thought about a few things, specifically zombies. But before we start talking about the movie, though, let's go ahead and talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. So I will butcher this person's name, and for that I apologize, because it is, I believe, a Scandinavian name, like from Denmark or something like that. His name is Andre Overdahl, and he was a director. This was written by Ian Goldberg and Richard Ng, and it is produced by Fred Berger, Eric Garcia, Ben Pugh, and Rory Aitken. And the three main characters are played by Emil Hirsch, who plays Austin, Brian Cox, who plays Tommy, the father, and Owen Catherine Kelly, who plays the titular Jane Doe. So, this movie is, in fact, Mariah, 86 minutes long, so not even an hour and a half, just under. And it is a co-production between the United Kingdom, so England and places like that, and in the US. And it made 6 million in the box office, but it did have a limited release, mind you. So I wonder how much money they made, because I couldn't really find a budget for this. But the response, as far as critically respond, sorry, the critical response goes, that was mostly positive, about 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty good. Not that I care about any of those things, mind you, personally, but some people, I don't know, do you care about those ratings?
Not really. I do the judging when I watch my spooky films.
I try not to look at those because a lot of times it's, whatever. But usually films that the critics don't like, I end up liking. So,
That's
I
amazing.
mean, my favorite movies are the Jason movies, so everyone hated those as far as the critic, the film critics go, so. But the basically like the main consensus or like the what a lot of people agree upon when it comes to this film on Rotten Tomatoes is that it is a, and I quote, smart, suggestively creepy thriller. People seem to like this film, Maria, and you do, and so do I, so that's great. Yay.
Yay.
So I guess we can finally start with the actual film plot, shall we? All right, so the movie starts with this crime scene investigation. There is a team of police officers that go to a house. There appears to be this really gruesome murder scene. I believe there's maybe like four or five bodies in the family, and they're all dead. And there's blood everywhere, and it looks like something terrible happened. And they're all wondering, well, what did happen here? What could have caused this? Because they also find the body of an unknown girl just kind of buried in the dirt in their house. So, what was going through your mind, Mariah, when you were looking at the first couple scenes in this film?
I was thinking Twin Peaks, the show from back in the day, because it just, I don't know, the way they found Laura, I think that was her name in Twin Peaks, gave me that of the same look somehow. She almost looked like untouched per se, so it was really weird to see a body like that, like it hadn't been touched or anything. So that was definitely creepy.
And you mean the body of Jane, right?
Yes.
It was almost perfect, no?
Super perfect. Like beautiful, almost. Just, what? So, yeah.
Skin is perfection. It's just, she's been lying in the dirt in the film when they find her, but her skin looks not, it doesn't look dirty at all. It looks perfectly white almost, like just really pale, and the dark hair and the eyes. So the eyes are really kind of haunting, really gray and deep. But did you have any theories as to what might have happened? Like, did you start having any ideas already? I mean, it's kind of early, right? It's like the first scene in the movie. But did you already start thinking, like, oh, maybe this girl is like a monster or I don't know, something? What were you thinking?
I didn't get that idea until the middle of the film. I just thought, oh, this girl doesn't have an ID or anything, and she must have been freshly, or not freshly, that sounds so bad. I would say just a fresh body, I would say. So it just appeared to me she just didn't look decomposed yet, as we usually see in a lot of films. So yeah, I didn't even get any of that yet, and so that was the exciting part for me.
So the first time that I saw the movie, if I can remember what happened 5 years ago, I can barely remember what happened yesterday sometimes. but when I saw it, I was thinking, well, maybe like these people had kidnapped her or something, like in the house. And somehow she was able to fight them off, whatever, right? This is like what I was thinking when the first time that I saw the film. And of course, I find out that makes no sense eventually, because it's not what happened. But that's what I was thinking. I was thinking like maybe these people, like, because the neighborhood in which they're in looks really like from a painting, kind of like it was like the stereotypical perfect neighborhood, kind of white picket fence kind of stuff. And I was thinking, oh, maybe this family is not what they're pretending to be, or something like that. But the cops are all like at a loss. They're like, well, what happened here? What caused this tragedy? There was no signs of breaking and entering, no signs of any articles in the house missing, any jewelry or anything like that. Nothing was missing, so nothing was stolen either. And the cops were like, it actually kind of looks like these people were trying to leave the house, but they couldn't. So that kind of adds to the mystery also, I think. Chan-chan-chan. The next scene happens when the father, Tommy, and the son, Austin, they're working at this morgue type of place. And I gotta say that the scenery looks very creepy and dark. I don't know what you thought about the scenery. Like when they show the hallways and everything, did you like it?
I loved it. It just reminded me of an old school doctor's office for some reason. It just had those beautiful walls that when you walk through them, you could feel sadness and just bodies gone away. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And this is kind of a recurring question to you, my friend, that I ask you almost every episode, but would you want to live in a place like
Yes.
that?
I got so excited. I actually just went to a cemetery recently, and this cemetery is literally parked right in between two houses. And it's an old cemetery from the 1800s, and these two houses are, their backyard is literally the cemetery. And I just thought that would be so fun to either live near, like super close to a cemetery or a morgue, like I guess a house that had been used as a morgue and a funeral home before. I would love a house like that for sure. And I hope to get one maybe in this lifetime.
Only you, my friend. Only you would say that. Nah,
I
it's
just, there's just something, it's beautiful to me. I love it so much.
I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I could visit a place like that. I could be there for a few hours, maybe, but I don't think I could live in a place that is right next to a cemetery. Or in a place like the movie from The Haunting in Connecticut, for example, where they go and it's like some sort of like a funeral home type of thing. In the basement.
Oh
Have you seen
yes.
that? Yeah, you've seen that movie,
That
right?
was, yes, I have. That was a good movie. That was really good. I think we may have done an episode on that one. Or me as a guest, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, we did it a long time ago with Monica. I don't know if you might have been the guest for that one.
Yes.
I
Yeah, because
forgot.
I remember you telling me about the movie and I was like, okay, awesome. I'm really excited. But yeah, it's very similar to that. But wow, the house in this film is just gorgeous. It definitely, I love the film how it had a lot of blue tones to it, because I feel in horror films, anything that's blue, that gives off that blue, any kind of blue, it just makes you feel sad but happy because you're excited to see what's gonna happen next in horror films. So that to me is gorgeous. And also, I must say, the father who plays, I guess like the main doctor or whatever, I don't know what they're called. He's actually, he played the father of Samara Morgan in The Ring.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yes, so I was extremely just excited. So, and I'll get into more into details of that with the references there.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I agree with you and when saying that this setting looks very appealing to me, but like I said, I don't think I could live there permanently. But yeah, I also agree with you when you said that the blue makes it a little bit more interesting. I mean, blue is my favorite color. So anything with blue, I tend to like quite a bit. When it comes to the movie, I feel like it does add like a whole different layer to the creepiness of it. So anyways, they're working here and the place, like we said, looks really dark and creepy. And they're talking about the bodies, and basically Tommy is training his son Austin, who's been working with him for several years, because I guess he expects him to take over the family business when he retires. And they're talking about, well, yeah, this is what we do in our family, so to speak. And then we meet Austin's girlfriend Emma, who just kind of drops by unexpectedly, and she's like, hey, let's go and have a date tonight, let's hang out. And Austin's like, yeah, sure, let's go ahead and do that. But before that, Emma says, I want to see a body. Show me what you guys do down here. So that reminded me of you.
That's amazing. I love that. I love when people say that about me. I'm like, yay, I'm creepy.
Was like, this is something like that. This is like something that Mariah would say if she had a friend or something that works in a morgue, she'd want to visit and see the bodies. But I know you mean well, my friend. I know you mean well. It's for your own intellectual curiosity and not for anything malicious.
Yes, absolutely.
Hopefully. So yeah, I was like, man, this is Mariah right here. So Austin's like, I don't know, because my dad's kind of, he doesn't like people walking around here. But then Tommy walks in and says, yeah, sure, whatever, show me the bodies. So they're talking about the bells, right? Because she sees some bells tied to their feet. And Tommy's like, well, back in the old days, people were buried with bells in their toes or in their feet because that would allow people to hear them if they woke up. Because you've heard about that, no, Maria? That some people in the past were buried alive by mistake because they thought they were dead.
Yes, I have. And I've gone to cemeteries and actually gone a cemetery tour of some people I knew back in South Texas, actually, where they gave me a guide, per se. And they were telling me about the history, about the little bells on the feet. So that was really exciting to see in this film because I thought, oh, how antique! It's just so cool.
Didn't we see that also in that movie? I think it was The Nun, right?
Oh, yes. That is, I believe, in The Nun as well.
Yeah, but in that case, I think they had a bell in their coffin, not their feet necessarily, but like just so they could pull it from their coffin from underground.
Yes, and I've actually seen bells near the coffin. I mean, not the coffin. Sorry, I'm like, whoa. No, the tombstone. I don't know why people do that sometimes. I've seen some stuff because I know in South Texas there are some cemeteries where the tombstone is, it looks like it's above ground and you can actually see the, I guess, the coffin look to it. And so those had bells around the coffin as well.
How scary must that have been back in the old days? Like, if you lived like in the 1700s, 1800s, imagine. I mean, on both sides of the fence, mind you. Like, you as the person that's been buried alive, you wake up because you're, I don't know, you're in a coma or something. You hit your head and somewhere, and you can't move. You're not awake. You're not responsive. So the medics are like, "Well, I guess this person's dead. Let's go ahead and throw him in the dirt." And then after a couple of days, you wake up and you're covered in dirt and you're underground, it's all dark and everything, and it's like, ah. So how scary was that for the people that were in fact buried alive? But also, imagine walking around, it's like midnight on a very dark and foggy night, and it's cold and chilly, and you're like a gravekeeper type of person, and you just hear a bell in the distance, like ding, 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 ding.
I
So.
would be excited. Be like, yes, at your service.
Oh man, I love that. Of course you would say that. So, I mean, I would assume that most of us though would be kind of like freaked out though. I think I would head in the opposite direction of that bell, my friend. If that were me, but yeah, I mean. So yeah, they're talking about the bells, but I mean, yeah, or before that. Imagine, I mean, just wow. I wonder how common that was. Hopefully not very common, but wow. Just the fact that they had to do it says a lot about that. So as you're talking about the bells, this girl, Emma, she kind of starts to like sneak up to a body and kind of she's about to uncover the face. And Tommy, the father, kind of rings the bells. She gets super scared. So I thought that was pretty funny. Because he's pranking her.
Yeah, I love
So
her little jump scare.
that was a nice prank on his part. And it's funny because he looks kind of like a serious person, someone that's like not messing around with, but I guess he's having fun, a little bit of fun. I mean, he's a little old. He's entitled to have some fun at the expense of his son's girlfriend. So then the sheriff arrives with the body of the mysterious Jane Doe. And he tells him, well, I need for you guys to uncover the cause of death by the morning because the press is on us. This horrible murder happened and four or five people died, so on and so forth. And Austin's not happy about this because he was planning on going with his girlfriend to watch a movie or something, right?
Right.
And so his girlfriend's like, no, it's okay. We can meet up later. Just do your job, help your dad, whatever. And he's like, fine, I'll do it. But we already know he's not happy about being there because I think he like later on, I don't know if it's here or later on that he talks about how he wants to leave that town, he wants to do something else with his life. He doesn't want to inherit his dad's job, basically. As soon as the cat sees the body, the cat just goes in a fit, which I always take as a sign that something evil is afoot. If my cat hisses at the empty living room, I'll be like, okay, what's in there? So their cat, who I believe is named Stanley, just doesn't like Jane Doe. He hates her pretty much. He goes in this like type of thing, and they ignore it. I mean, it's just a cat, whatever. So they start with the, what do you want to call this, the process of the autopsy? I guess the process is the right word.
I know there is a word, an examination, forensics,
Something like that, yeah.
possibly.
Something like that, yeah. Maybe the forensic
Because they're
examination.
trying to find out the cause of death.
Yes. So they start with the process, and they see that already, right off the bat, there's a few things that are not normal based on their experience with dead bodies. So her skin, like we mentioned, looks perfect. Near perfect condition. It looks just no wrinkles, no nothing. But her eyes are hazy and gray and like cloudy, which they point out that usually that means that person's been dead for a while, at least a few days. And then they also see that her wrists and her ankles are destroyed, they're just completely shattered. But there are no signs of her having been, like, her body being injured on the outside. And then also her tongue was cut out, and I believe some of her teeth were missing as well. So what's going through your mind, Mariah, when they're analyzing the body right now, as they start to analyze the body, rather?
I was really interested in how everything is unfolding and stuff. I would say it was so beautiful to see the tongue just cut the way it was cut. Because of course we don't see this in general horror movies. So it was really cool. Just a different style of spookiness. So that was really exciting to see. I'm also getting inspiration for my, of course, dolls for my miniature house. So I was really excited to see just different ideas and stuff of all of that. And it looks so crusty and white, the tongue. It just wowed me.
So suffice to say, that I don't have any experience with dead bodies, thankfully. Actually, my mom was a nurse, but she worked with like living patients, of course. But I guess she, not that she wanted me to go into the medical profession, but she kind of always asked me if I had any interest, and I was always like, "No, I'm a germaphobe. I don't like blood." So I was like, "Nope, that's not gonna happen." But yeah, I mean, she wasn't trying to push me in that direction or anything. She was just maybe trying to see what I wanted to do with my life. And here I am making a podcast about horror movies.
Yay!
But that's completely different from actually handling the blood and everything. I can just talk about it, which I'm fine talking about it. Especially if it's fake, like in movies, but I just can't handle like touching it and like, no.
Really?
Like my own blood, I'm fine. Like if I cut myself, like shaving, whatever, okay, I'm fine. That's no problem. But I don't think I could ever be a medical profession person, like, oh, let me help you manage that wound and just touch your blood. No, I'm sorry, I can't.
Definitely takes a lot of has a lot of just different outlook towards it, because you are dealing on top of wounds and stuff, you're also dealing with the emotional parts too, that I can imagine is kind of like a Debbie Downer per se. So yeah, I always think about the TV show ER when it comes to things like that, and just how emotional just different causes of deaths are, and just it can definitely get extreme. So yeah, I think that's like, oh man. But yeah,
so now if I remember what I was thinking when I first saw this movie about the body being like, and that was my whole point, because I was going to say, like, I have no experience with dead bodies. But I was just thinking, like, well, maybe the people in the house did something to her, right? Maybe they were, like, either experimenting on her or doing something, right? The house where she was found. So, back then, I was still thinking, like, well, maybe these people were doing something to her, or, like, torturing her or something like that, right? Because of the amount of damage her body has. But I was thinking, like, well, it makes no sense for her body to not have any wounds on the outside if her bones are destroyed, if her tongue is cut out. So I was intrigued. I was like, I was looking forward to what they discovered on the next few minutes in this movie. So they're about to start that cut on the chest, right? When they open the person up, and they start hearing thunder and lightning and everything like that. And the lights start flickering. So basically, like the stereotypical horror movie stuff. And then, of course, the radio starts playing music by itself. You hear like all these kinds of weird noises. And I think somebody screams in the radio, right, also?
Yes. That was so exciting to hear.
So there's a scream, and then this song starts playing by itself, like without them messing with the dial on the radio. Because yes, kids out there in the audience, there was a time in which people didn't have Spotify on their phones. Or YouTube Music or Apple Music, whatever. You actually had to get a device called a radio and turn the knob or the dial and find your favorite station. And they would play music and shows and commercials and stuff like that. It was like TV, but only with sound. And for music also. Well, not always for music. They had also like talk shows and stuff like that. I'm talking like some ancient kind of technology.
I love that.
But you'd be surprised how many young people don't know how the world was before the internet. We've talked about this in other episodes, but man.
Yeah, the World Wide Web.
Yeah, when I was teaching, you'd be surprised the things that I heard kids ask me when it came to quote-unquote old technology.
I'm so adorable.
So yeah, those kids were something else, I'll tell you. So going back to the movie, they start cutting into her body and blood starts dripping out, and it's fresh blood, mind you. Normally, when a person dies, Maria, based on what I've seen in documentaries and medical shows, stuff like that, like in Discovery Channel before they sold out and became like a reality TV show network. A body, when a person dies, their blood stops flowing. So it becomes thicker. It becomes kind of like a paste almost over time. So what's happening in the scene in which they're cutting the body open, that's not normal. Her blood should be what they call coagulated, which is when it gets thick and dark. So that was a little bit creepy. And then also, her blood in the fridge, because I think they took a blood sample from her, which is also still very preserved. And when they cut into her body, the blood sample kind of just bursts in the little flask and it makes a mess in the fridge. So creepy, isn't it?
It's really creepy. I loved it. It was just, I just, when I did see the blood spatter in the fridge, I did think magic, some type of magic. So.
You know what I was thinking when I saw them cutting the body? I thought this girl's still alive. I mean, I'm talking about back then, but the first time that I saw it, right? Me not knowing what the movie was about, or where the movie was gonna go into, what kind of direction it was gonna go into. Because I was still thinking this girl had been kidnapped by those people in the house or something like that. And maybe they either drugged her or did something to her that kind of just paralyzed her, but she was still alive. So I was thinking like, oh my God, these people are cutting up a live woman. Did you think that at any point?
Not exactly. I didn't think she was alive at all. I just thought just new dead body.
Yeah, I for sure thought she was alive because I don't know if you've seen this movie. I don't know what it's called, by the way. But it's a movie about this guy who's got a girlfriend and he's got a heart condition. And he needs to have a surgery for that. I think he needs a transplant or something like that. And so he goes into the operating room and he undergoes the surgery, but he's not asleep. Like the anesthetic doesn't work on him. So he has to go through the entire operation fully awake, but he can't move. He's paralyzed from the epidural, whatever they give him. So he can't talk, he can't move, but he's awake. So that's, and it's not a horror movie, it's more like a thriller. But that is what this movie reminded me of, because I saw that movie a long time ago. But when I saw them cutting into Jane Doe, I was like, oh my God, it's kind of like that movie where the guy's alive and he's just like paralyzed, but he's still alive.
Oh, okay. I understand what you're saying now. That sounds really creepy. Oh,
Can you imagine, like, if you have to go into a surgery and for some reason the anesthetic just doesn't work the way it's supposed to, and you're awake and you're feeling everything?
I would cry. Or I don't even know if you could cry if you're paralyzed.
You might be able to, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I
Oh, that's terrible.
That is terrifying to me. I mean, I am a crybaby, so a paper cut will make me just not be okay with myself anymore.
Oh.
I couldn't imagine like somebody cutting me open and like I'm still feeling it. No. So this is where like a lot of the scariness comes into play for me personally, because that is actually a fear that I have. Like, what if I go into the hospital one day and they need to, I don't know, take out my appendix, whatever, you know, hopefully never, but they put me to sleep, quote unquote, and I'm awake the whole time and I'm feeling them messing with my intestines. No.
Oh,
So, no, thank you. maybe that's why I like this movie so much. Because it kind of speaks to one of my deepest fears that I have. So, anyways, back to the movie here. So, as they're continuing with the autopsy, they open up her body. They see that her lungs are completely blackened, like she was stuck in a fire somewhere. And then her heart was pierced and it was cut, like somebody cut it with a knife or something. And so Tommy is like, well, this makes no sense because for her to have sustained this kind of damage, her body would have to be completely destroyed, disfigured completely. Like she wouldn't look this quote unquote good, right? As far as her condition on the outside is. So it's getting creepier and creepier, isn't it?
Yes, I love it so much. And also too, I think the gore in this film is so good for the setting, I would say. So, it just kept wowing me every time they would find something in the body. I
It's kind of like a puzzle box, kind So, yeah, they see that all her organs are messed up and everything like that. And they hear a noise, which I just heard a noise, by the way. I don't know if that was you or not. But
I don't know.
that wasn't you. I heard a noise. Chan chan chan, it's Jane Doe.
She's like, hey, you're talking about me. Yeah, no, I do hear my laptop breathing.
No, but I heard like a bang, like something fell.
Huh. No?
Maybe it's my ghost roommate manifesting themselves once again.
No, but I did hear something right now too. Like a bang. But in my house, I don't know. I do have all the doors locked. So hopefully Samara hasn't come over. Oh, the lights are flickering in
Oh.
my house too.
Chan chan
That's scary.
chan. Okay, so hopefully everything's okay, my friend. And so, yeah, they hear a noise, and Austin goes out to investigate. So he's walking in the hallways, and it's, of course, all dark and creepy, and he sees what appears to be a woman behind him on that round mirror camera thing.
Oh, yes.
So, of course, when he turns around, the person is gone. And they're talking about, well, I heard a noise, it's not, let's go. They're looking around. And they eventually, this is like the saddest scene in the movie for me. When they find the cat, and the cat's like super mangled up.
Oh, yeah. That was really sad to see.
Yeah, so that is like the one scene in the movie that I hate. I hate the
Oh.
cat scene because they see that he's injured beyond any possibility of help. So what Tommy does is he basically takes him and puts him to sleep. Let's just say that. Which made me sad. I almost cried. So Austin's like, hey dad, so what's going on? Tell me, like, are you okay? And Tommy's like, yeah, I'm fine, don't worry about it. This cat belonged to your mom, so it's kind of like the only one of the only memories that I have of her that I can that I well, not the only memory, but like one of the only things from her that I still had that was still around. So they go back and continue with the autopsy. And Tommy finds in Jane's stomach some sort of a plant, right? And I think that plant is called, if I have this name correct, Jimson weed, which is supposedly some sort of a paralyzing plant. And it's something that is not found in the area in which they live in. So, what do you think about that scene right there?
It was really creepy. Again, very creepy. I was really excited them finding out new stuff, because you can tell they're determined to get to the bottom of it. And so that was really exciting for me for some reason. I guess because they're messing with the body and opening the body, and that was really entertaining for me to see. But I actually didn't even catch that about the flower, about paralyzing.
Yeah, it's something they mentioned like really quick in passing, so
Okay, yeah,
it's easy to
I
miss.
must have missed that part. That would make a lot more sense with the corpse. I would probably put those two together quicker.
See, so when I first watched the movie, this kind of reinforced my belief. Oh, okay, so they poisoned her or something. They gave her something to paralyze her so she could just be there without being able to move. Again, the people in the house, right, where they found her in the beginning. So I was still kind of going with that idea back then. Especially because, again, this is a plant that paralyzes whoever eats it or drinks it, whatever, in a tea. And not only that, but they also find a little baggie in her stomach that's got her missing teeth, but also strange symbols on it. So I was like, okay, this is getting weirder by the second
Like a
here.
treasure map.
Yeah, so I was thinking like, so what is that? They see these like circles and triangles and just weird symbols in the little cloth. And then this is where it started to get a little bit weird for me, because Tommy starts to basically skin her. Like, take her skin off her body, right? And they're able to see that the skin on the inside has the same symbols as the piece of cloth in her stomach. So that's where I started to think a little bit differently. I was like, well, maybe something's going on here, like as far as like a ritual or magic or some sort of weird evil stuff.
Yeah, it was insane to see, of course, that tiny bag and then see it inscribed onto her skin, but inside her skin, inside her organs. Oh, this is so wild. I was like, wow, this is cool to watch.
Going back to that movie, The Haunting in Connecticut, there's something similar to this, but I think the guy writes on his own skin on the outside, not the inside, though, right? Towards the end, I think.
Yes, I do remember that part.
So that kind of reminded me of that too. But I'm with you, like, what is going on here? Like, this is so weird that only, like, how would they write stuff on the inside of her skin? So this is again where I was my gears started turning a little bit, and I was like, maybe they did some sort of demonic ritual on this girl. Maybe she, and then I started thinking of like a possession type of thing.
Possession. Yeah, because there's no I would say no cuts or anything on the body. So that was wild to me to see.
And you know how in a possession, or at least in the movie The Exorcist, they tie her from the wrists and the ankles, I think?
Okay, yeah.
So, like, to keep her from moving in the bed. So that's what I was thinking. Like, so my mind works in weird ways as I'm watching movies. And I think this may be the first time that I'm describing things like this in an episode of the podcast, as far as what my mind was thinking as I was watching this. The first time, mind you. So I was thinking like, well, maybe this girl was possessed and the people in the house had her tied up from her wrists and ankles. And that would explain the damage. And also if she's possessed, then maybe that would explain the internal damage that you only see when you open up her body. So I was still going with that theory as far as this point goes. And then Chun chun chun. The lights explode. The overhead lights in the autopsy room. And to make matters a little bit more uncomfortable, Mariah, the drawers where they store the bodies in the morgue, they see that they're all open and they're all empty. So the bodies are all gone. And I was thinking, okay, zombies now.
Something's going crazy on here.
For sure. I mean, which I don't mind because zombies are probably my second favorite horror genre besides slashers. So I was like, okay, there's gonna be zombies in the mix now, so that's interesting. So they're like, okay, you know what? The hell with this. I'm out of here. Let's just leave this person here, and we'll come back in the morning with the sheriff. So they get scared, very understandably. They try to escape, but the elevator isn't working. And then there's another door that they can leave, or they can use to leave, rather. And they find out that door is blocked by a tree that was hit by lightning or something, right, from the storm.
Yes.
And then, of course, the cell phone has no signal. And then the phone, the landline in the building doesn't work either. So they're trapped. So, what would you do, Mariah, if you found yourself in a situation like that in which you're trying to leave a place because something creepy is happening and you can't?
Try to entertain myself. Like, you know what? We're gonna make this a haunting good experience. Or just something like that. But I'm trying to think if I've ever, I feel like I may have gone through something similar in real life. And it was okay. I think I remember I got stuck one time in an elevator. It was a long time ago, and I've seen a lot of elevator horror movies. Oh, that was scary. I do remember just putting on my MP3, asking for help. This was so long ago, getting stuck in the elevator. So thankfully, no corpses were hanging out with me in this elevator. So I think I was okay. But I can't even imagine. Just corpses are missing and you're stuck. That would definitely it may give me a little bit of heart palpitations, I'd say. But it would be really exciting too, thinking, ooh, Scooby-Doo adventures. I don't know.
Oh man, I don't know. I think I would go into like defensive mode and just try to lock myself in a room and just get a weapon or something. And okay, whatever comes through that door, I'll fight it.
I think I'd be like, you want
Oh yes, only you would say that,
to be friends?
So yeah, they can't escape. They're trapped. Their phone has no signal. Either one of them, the cell phone doesn't have any signal, and the landline doesn't work. And then to make matters a little bit more intense, Mariah, they start hearing the little bells.
Oh no. I am pretty sure I thought I heard the bells go off in that old school cemetery, the one in South Texas, but it was also windy too, I think. So yeah, but that is really creepy hearing a bell go off at a cemetery because I've heard one before. So it's especially at nighttime, that's I wasn't scared during the day, but at nighttime, anything creepy going on in the radio. I think even too for the audience, there was this ghost story episode that we did for this podcast about the Donkey Lady Bridge. I remember hearing a creepy lady too on the radio.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So in case y'all want to hear about that one, go check that one out too. So that was really, really creepy. But yeah, I would be terrified because I've experienced sounds at nighttime in creepy places.
Like we did a couple minutes ago. There was a sound.
I felt like, I don't know if you did something, but I heard an old man while recording just now about a few minutes ago, and I was gonna be like, was that you?
Look, Maria, I'm 38, so I hope you're not calling me old at this age.
No, but I don't know. It's creepy. This night's getting really creepy. It's awesome.
Let's make a parenthesis here because I remember you when we first met, that we did that episode in which you did the reading for me. You mentioned an old man.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, I have those notes and I think about him every now and then. So I haven't determined what that old man or who that old man is, rather, but I didn't hear anything. But maybe it's him.
Because I remember you've mentioned that you've heard a man on my end before too.
Yeah.
So uh-huh. I'm like, uh-uh. So that's really scary, but it's, I don't know, my lights were flickering and stuff. And then that bump and then hearing that man while we're talking about the bells and so scary. They're like, hey, thank you for giving me a shout out. Or something like that.
I mean, I'm home alone, right? Well, there's no other living people in this house right now, so besides me.
I love that.
So yeah, I don't know. I do have a ghost roommate. Maybe the old man is my roommate. I don't know. Oh, I heard it. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I heard a voice.
We're going to have like paranormal.
Oh my God.
Turn into a paranormal episode.
I am going to go back and try to capture that because I heard a voice right now. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, and I heard another bump too.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So maybe it's just the echo. Maybe it's just us, like the distance and the internet, you know, stuff like that. But I'm gonna go back and analyze that audio.
It's constant and it keeps happening.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But wow, we're talking about it and I heard a voice right now. On your end. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. That's exciting.
So anyone out there listening to this podcast, we're not making this up. Like, or at least I thought no. I heard a voice. So what I'm trying to say is we're not doing this ourselves. We're not like playing background noises or whispering into the microphone. Like we're not doing that. Like I'm not doing it, unless you are.
No, definitely not. No.
So
it's creepy because we're talking about the bells. And yeah. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, so. And so we're not trying to play a prank on anybody, but see, like I'm even stuttering now. Like I'm stuttering right now because I'm like excited / freaked out.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens.
I'm gonna have to watch a happy film after this.
So
like, where's my dog when I need her? She's not even here with me right now.
So okay, finally going back to the movie here. If the ghosts will let us finish this episode. they hear the bells, and so Austin, the son, is like, you know what? I'm starting to think that Jane is responsible for all this. She's got something to do with this weird stuff that's happening. And Tommy, of course, is like, you're crazy. That's nonsense. So on and so forth. And he goes into the restroom, and he is attacked in there. Something pulls him into the restroom, very strongly, mind you. And he sees this figure, which looks like a dead body with gray eyes. And so the door is locked all of a sudden. And Austin's trying to break into the restroom. And Tommy's getting attacked. And when Austin breaks the door down, the body just disappears automatically. into thin air. So, chun chun chun. And as they're just kind of, I guess, gathering themselves, recovering themselves from all this, they go back to the autopsy room and they see that whatever they took out from Jane's body, the heart, the lungs, etc., it's all decomposed. Unlike the rest of her body, which still looks almost perfect. So at this point, they're like, you know what? Let's burn this woman. I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. So they're like, yeah, let's go and take her to the incineration chamber. But they are locked in. They can't leave the autopsy room. And when they try to open the door, they see a dead body walking around outside. So I'm thinking, yeah, okay, the zombies are here. So, which I wouldn't mind, because again, I like zombie movies. So they decide pretty much to just burn her right there and then. Okay, let's just douse her with lighter fluid, whatever it is, and that'll be the end of that. We'll explain ourselves to the sheriff later. They light up her body, and then the flames just kind of shoot out from her body everywhere into the walls and the ceiling and everything. So everything they've been collecting as far as evidence, because they took pictures of the process, I think they took video also, right?
Yes, I do remember a camcorder.
So they took video, pictures, written notes, everything in that room burns, except for them and Jane, whose body is, once again, almost perfect. No burn marks, no ashes, nothing. So at this point, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, this lady's the Like, my mind is like, when I first saw the movie, I was just going 100 miles per hour, 100 miles an hour. So yeah, okay, this lady's not nice after all. She's evil. Or so I was thinking. What were you thinking when you saw all this?
I was getting witchy vibes. Not necessarily demonic, right? Which is funny to think about it now. But yeah, I just kept thinking witch or some. And also, too, at one point, I did think that other people may had cursed her body to maybe try to protect her body from. Like, I didn't picture her as evil yet. I just thought witchcraft or protection spell of some sort, perhaps, that other people wanted to protect her body. But I wasn't getting that she was evil or anything, which is weird. Looking back on it.
So the body is once again unharmed, completely unharmed, and they hear the elevator on the outside and they're like, okay, let's get out of here, I'm out of here. They go there and they can't use it because there's not enough power for it to work, and then they see one of the dead bodies chasing them around, and they try to lock the door in the elevator, but the dead body is kind of trying to get in there with them, and Tommy gets an axe from somewhere and just hits the body in the head. And then they get out and they see that it's Emma, Austin's girlfriend. Chun chun chun. So I guess what happened is that maybe she found a way into the place. And because of the weirdness that was happening in that location, they thought it was a dead body, but it was just her trying to get their attention.
That's so sad. Just, ugh, I can't even imagine.
So basically, it's a hallucination that Jane Doe was making them have. That, oh yeah, it's a dead body that's gonna eat you, but oh no, it's actually your girlfriend. Haha. So yeah, that was pretty disheartening for me as the audience. So of course Austin is devastated And Tommy's like, what did I do? Like, I killed this woman, I killed this girl. And they start having an argument. Basically, kind of just blaming each other for what's happening. And they have a little scene in which Tommy, the father, tells Austin, "Hey, let me talk to you about your mom." And so I don't know why that happened right there,
So
but
random.
yeah, I mean, but I guess it's got some sort of significance because he tries to, I guess, get close to his son because his son was like, "Well, you don't talk to me about anything about her." So yeah, Tommy tells Austin about his mom, and well, your mom looked really happy and she was always there for everyone, and I think he called her Ray of Sunshine or something like that.
Ooh.
He called her Ray. But then Tommy's like, well, yeah, but she looked happy and she looked like everything was fine, but on the inside she wasn't. She was actually not happy. So I don't think he says it outright, but he implies that I think she might have taken her own life, right?
I think so. I was trying very hard to see what I could gather, but I feel like it left a cliffhanger on that. But probably, yeah, because they were talking about emotionally inside that there she had some struggles. So, yeah, I guess it's definitely implied that possibly something happened because of that.
So as they're having this conversation, the incinerator turns on and smoke basically just covers up the entire place on the inside. And so they're like, well, let's go back and finish this, right? So they walk back to the autopsy room, but the place is filled up with smoke. And as they're walking in there, Tommy gets attacked by somebody that's like trying to stab him. Or cut him with a blade. So he gets cut, but they make it to the room. Barely, but they make it. And they're like, okay, let's finish this. Let's find out what's going on here. So they open up her brain, her head. They take some brain samples from her. And then Austin puts him in the microscope and it's like, hey, Dad, the cells in the brain are still alive. So essentially, that means that her brain is still working somehow. I don't know what I was thinking at this point. I think I might have been
Yeah,
drunk.
that sounds crazy. Just, I at first I thought the cells were evolving. I don't know why.
Like Resident
It's
Evil?
like, oh, it's like, oh, that's really cool. So
She's gonna
weird.
mutate into something different. Yeah, but I mean that's of course not normal. I mean a dead body, mind you, the body is alive, quote unquote, for a few minutes after you die. Meaning, well, not the body, but the brain rather, sorry. So the brain is still active from, I don't know, a few minutes after your heart stops beating. But it's only a few minutes. It shouldn't be like hours. Or days, that's not normal, obviously. So they keep digging and they find that those symbols on her skin and on that little piece of cloth were actually symbols that had to do with witchcraft, like you said a little earlier. So they find a verse from the Bible, which is Leviticus 20:27, which I don't know from heart, by the way. I'm not a good Catholic. And they also see a date, which is the year nine, no, sorry, not which is the year rather, sorry, 1693. I'm dyslexic tonight.
No.
So they figure out that okay, Jane was around the time of the witch trials in Salem. And I did look up what that Bible verse is about, and it's basically about witchcraft. People that consort with spirits are not gonna have a happy ending, basically. So, how do you feel about that?
So bizarre to me. Just that, wow, witches. Witches really, of course, something that I do feel in the world is very real and such. So anything to actually go back to that time period and just how much, I don't know, I feel maybe perhaps back then everything was a bit different in the witch community, because there was, of course, no internet, no anything like that. So it, I don't know. It could have been stronger back then. I don't know, but it is. It's a really amazing curiosity to think about. But oh man, this was really crazy because of how young she still looked and fresh, and yeah, it's like, whoa, what's all that going on?
So somehow they conclude that, well, Jane was maybe an innocent woman that was submitted to this ritual because they thought she was a witch. Because back then, mind you, the women who were accused of witchcraft were basically all innocent. So in the movie context, Tommy and Austin are like, well, maybe she was in, I mean, whatever they used against her to suppress her quote unquote witch powers actually ended up giving her witch powers for real. So that means that she's still alive, so she's feeling everything we're doing to her. Like I said earlier in the episode, when that movie in which the guy was like having a surgery and feeling everything,
Oh,
that's kind of what they think is going on here too. Like, oh, she's still alive somehow through witch powers or witchcraft, whatever. So Tommy is at this point, you know what? I'll just tell her to take me so she can save you. So Tommy, the father, is like, okay, you know what? Take my body, just leave my son alone, so to speak. So Tommy's body starts destroying itself. His wrists and ankles get destroyed. He starts coughing like blood. So he's dying at this point, and Jane's body is, you see her like recovering. Her wounds start healing. And she even gets some color back into her face. She looks a little bit pinkish now, not so much white. And Tommy's like, okay, Austin, yeah, you know what? I don't want to go through this anymore. So Austin, I think he stabs his dad right at this point.
Yes.
Because he wants him to not suffer anymore. So then Austin hears the sheriff calling out. So he runs to the door. And he tries to open the door. And he's, yeah, open the door, open the door. We're here, we're here. But then, chan chan chan, he discovers that it's not true. It's an illusion, a hallucination. And then he turns around because he hears the bells behind him. And he sees his dad like reaching out for him. So he walks back and he ends up falling from the stairs and he dies. Austin, that is. And then the next morning, this is where the movie ends. The next morning, the sheriff gets there with his, I guess, deputies. And they're like, what happened here? What, like, what? So they're still confused. They are confused as to what happened because it's basically the same thing that happened in the house. And so they're like, well, I guess we can now send this body to the university to have them look at this because I don't want this in my city anymore, in my town. So they basically bag up Jane Doe, they put her in a van, and they send her to a different town, different city, to be analyzed. But then at the very end, you see her feet move and the little bell ringing. Chan chan chan. So, do you think that means that because she took Tommy's life force, she's gonna be able to like walk around and stuff now?
That is an idea that I was getting, but also too, it was really a weird fact because she when Tommy dies, she looks like how she came in. So I thought, okay, well maybe she did that so that way she could look like how she looked in the beginning. So it definitely is a bit of a question mark if she actually will get up and on her feet and stuff. What was so crazy to me was seeing Tommy talking about how she wanted others to feel what she was feeling and such, and that gave me a reference to the movie The Ring, where he's talking about Samara and about she just won't stop. And she so it was really, really good because I was like, wow, this is so cool. This is totally very similar, or I don't know, just that line in there was definitely giving me the ring. But yeah, it's so crazy to me thinking, huh, I wonder if she is going to actually be able to look brand new and start walking among us. That's really cool to see. But yeah, that was very creepy.
Wow. Turn to turn. So, yeah, very creepy. What made sense to me, or rather the conclusion that I got to at the end was that, okay, so all those things in her skin, like all those symbols, I think that was meant to contain her.
Oh,
And so
okay.
now that she took somebody's life force, that she that because Tommy volunteered, he's like, okay, she's like, Tommy was like, Jane, take my life force, but spare my son. Like, just take what you need and let him live. So because he gave his life to her, I think she's now gonna start recovering. And so she's able to, or she's gonna be able rather, that to move around and stuff like that. So it's definitely not over. Definitely not over, my friend. So before we move on to the scores, though, do we have any weird factoids about this?
No. Well, not for me.
Well, I got a couple of things here for you, Mariah, from IMDb. The role of Jane Doe was actually played by a live person. It wasn't a dummy or a prosthetic. It was an actual person.
Wow.
Well, of course, not when they opened her, mind you.
Yeah, I was like, what? They did what?
I mean, that was a prosthetic, but as far as the scenes in which her body's not open or her face is, it's literally an actual person, like it's an actress. So, can you imagine how much concentration that would require?
Yes, that takes talent, true talent there. Because just to stay still and look dead.
Because, mind you, I mean, that thing in which they put you, I mean, well, I've never been dead, of course, but when you go to a hospital and they put you in this, like, the operating table, it's cold. It's really cold. So I would assume that this thing in which this woman is lying is also cold. Plus, she's naked. Completely naked. And she's surrounded by people making a movie. Like, at all times. So, of course, the actors are professionals, so they're not gonna do anything weird, but. But can you imagine just being naked and having people walking around you and lights and cameras and people screaming at each other because, hey, action, whatever, like. And you have to just be there perfectly still, not even blink or breathe for, like, I don't know how long. I mean.
No. I feel like I would burst out laughing or something.
I mean, that alone would have made me like nominate this woman for an Oscar. Just wow, like just sitting there like acting like nothing's happening. It's like amazing. But I don't think she's made any other movies.
I haven't seen her in anything else, but she definitely was very beautiful. She looked very similar, well, not super similar, but she just gave me Samara with her beautiful black hair. Beauty-wise, was just gorgeous. So, yeah.
So I'm looking at her biography on or stalker on IMDb, and she's done a few things, very few things. She was in a show called Why Life Sucks When You're in Your 20s. Of course, this movie, just Model Things. A movie called Winter Ridge and another movie called The Grand Duke of Corsica, which was about 2 3 years ago. So she's only got about 5 or 6 credits. Huh. Interesting. So the other thing that I have, Mariah, is that you know who Martin Sheen is?
I think so.
So he's of course Charlie Sheen's dad. Emilio Estevez's dad also.
Okay.
He came out in movies like Apocalypse Now and a lot more. But he was the one who was supposed to play the part of Tommy, the father. But he ended up dropping because he couldn't do it anymore. He had some other things to take care of, so he couldn't do the movie anymore. Now, I don't mean to compare, but I think Martin Sheen is, I think, in my opinion, a better actor than this guy is, who was Brian Cox, was a guy who played Tommy. And I'm not saying he sucks or anything like that, but I think, me personally, I think Martin Sheen would have given this role a whole different dimension. So, to me, it's kind of a shame that he didn't get to do it, but we did get a nice performance from Brian Cox, so. I believe that should be it, my friend, as far as factoids. Do we have anything more to add before we go into this course?
Nope.
Oh, wait, I have one more thing, actually. I'm just reading this right now. So, that scene in the elevator, in which they talk about their mom, that was basically all improvised. They
Oh.
had the dialogues, you know, like the idea of what they were going to talk about. But basically, it was just them talking to each other, like just kind of going with it, right? So that's pretty cool, I think. Pretty cool. So I guess we can move on to the scores. How many? What do we want to use for the units here?
I was gonna say the little map thing.
Oh, that's a little bit
That's
more
so
appropriate
weird.
than what I was thinking because I was gonna say how many naked witches, but no.
No.
I guess we can go with
That's funny.
how many
Roman numerals.
guess how many symbols, witchcraft symbols, I guess.
Witchy, yes. Yeah, that one.
How many witchcraft symbols do we get this movie out of 10 and why?
I'm going to rate it a 9 because I actually really enjoy this. It had more of a lot of things that I grew up with that just brought me so much happiness. Like when I went, ghost adventuring and heard the creepy lady in real life on the radio that is also on this podcast episode. It's a true ghost story. So that was really creepy. The radio was really, really creepy. And I've experienced that in real life. And the corpse, wow, just she did phenomenal with that. It's just wow, so good. And also the gore wasn't over the top, but it was actually still enjoyable for gory fans, I would say. And the witches, ah, just like towards the end of like anything witchy is so exciting to me. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a 9 because of that, and also the blue tones as well. Just it got me so excited and made me feel like at home for some weird reason. I don't know what that means, but well, yeah, I do know what it means. It made me feel like I was in a happy place for
So you want to hang
some
out?
weird way.
What I got from that is that you want to hang out in the morgue sometime.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna agree with you that I gave this a 9 because I do feel like this is a different kind of horror movie. It's not very action oriented. I mean, stuff happens, but it's not like there's a killer in the loose, like a slasher or anything like that. It's kind of psychological, but I would say also, of course, supernatural. So this is what I would call a good horror film. Now, I don't want to give it a label. I don't want to call this elevated horror like they call movies like Midsommar and Hereditary. But I would say that if I had to pick a movie like that, like a modern horror movie that made me feel like I was watching a very good film, it'd be this one. Now, I guess a lot of people would disagree with that, but that's okay. That's perfectly fine. Yeah, and I give it a 9 also because I took 1 point because of the cat. Boo.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
when the
That
cat
was
died.
anything with like animals is so sad. I'm like, oh, my baby Samara, my doggy, that would be so sad. So yeah, and even a cat too. Cats are so cute, and they do sense danger as well. And when something's off, just as dogs do, and they're just so brilliant.
I think cats are more associated with the spiritual world type of thing.
Yes. I definitely agree.
If anyone out there believes in that kind of stuff. How many skulls do we give to Jane Doe, who I'm assuming we're gonna call the villain in this, right?
Yes, I'm gonna give her a 10. I know that's really, really high.
No, but I'm actually gonna agree with you. I'll also give her a 10.
Just because I would just love her. I don't know. It's just she's so. It's crazy. This film, like you said, didn't have a lot of like super scary moments, but it's still so good. The art and the meanings behind it, and just everything was. It's perfect. So I loved Jane Doe. She was amazing, and yeah, I loved her in this movie. So that was really exciting. And getting to learn about the name Jane Doe because I never heard of Jane Doe before either. I've only heard, of course, of John Doe.
Oh yeah, Jane Doe is like the girl name.
The girl version, yeah. So that was really exciting to see him. Like, oh, now every time I think about Jane Doe, I think about her now.
Yeah, I'm gonna give her, like I said, a 10 also. Because she's a different kind of villain, but she's very terrifying, I think. Very scary. She doesn't have to do much as far as movement. She has no lines. She's a dead body, quote unquote. But I think this performance from this actress is one of the scariest that I've seen in a long time. Me personally. So, and then of course, the way she goes around doing her deeds, you know, that everything is witch powers, supernatural type of thing. But it's not hokey, it's just, I think, very, very scary and terrifying. So I give her a 10. And I guess that's gonna be all for tonight, isn't it?
Yes.
Unless you have anything more to add, my friend, before we sign off for tonight.
Nope.
All right, so that was our discussion slash analysis slash rant about The Autopsy of Jane Doe from 2016. I want to thank everyone who took time to listen to our episode. If you are listening to a service in which you can rate our podcast, by all means, give us a top rating because we are cool like that. Are we not, Maria?
Absolutely.
And don't forget to check out our Linktree page, which is linktree.com/mythsbehindLGDS, in which you can find all of our social media links like Facebook, Instagram, etc. So, yes, go ahead and check those out, please. And I guess that's going to be all for us here at EMBL for this evening. I want to thank you guys once again for listening to us. This episode on the very great film, The Autopsy of Jane Doe. And I want to tell you guys to please stay away from weird dead bodies. bells in the evening. If you hear bells in your house, run. Leave. Whatever you got to do, just run. And until we see you in the next one, have a good one. Thank you.